This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, prayer at the President's Cabinet meeting this morning, described by MSNBC as unusual and striking. Is it? Historian David Barton is here. And there's no war on Christmas and Christianity? Well, tell that to the ACLU, who filed a lawsuit in federal district court in Louisiana against the Webster Parish School in northwest Louisiana for promoting and inculcating Christianity into their students. Penny Warner, a parent who is pushing back, will join us to talk about that. Also, we'll be taking your phone calls a little bit later here on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. And let me remind you, we are continuing in our year-end matching grant. If you would like to partner with FRC between now and the end of the year, we have a generous donor who's going to match everything that you give. And so you can become a partner with FRC and help keep Washington Watch on the air. And this week, if you make a donation, I'll also send you a free copy of my latest book, No Fear. We have folks standing by to take your call, 800-225-4008, 800-225-4008. All right, during a cabinet meeting, President Trump called upon Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Ben Carson to lead members of the Trump cabinet in prayer. This is not the first time that they've had prayer. In fact, their very first one, the president called upon the vice president to pray. But the greater story here is not that there was prayer in the White House, but MSNBC's response to it. Listen to their discussion about this earlier today.
Andrea, that moment harkened back to the initial cabinet meeting. You'll recall that in that very first cabinet meeting, you saw all of the cabinet secretaries go around the room and effectively thank the president for his service, for his accomplishments. Well, the vice president sort of had a redo of that moment again today. You heard him effectively heap praise on President Trump. He did so within the context and within the backdrop of this tax bill that is about to pass. But Andrea, you raised a couple of other points. Immigration. You heard the president talk about his intentions to end chain migration. This is something that we've heard him talk about for quite some time, the visa lottery program. You also heard him talk about the wall. That's something we haven't really heard him talk about in depth in a little while. He said he plans to, in fact, visit some border towns where they are making some plans for the wall. I thought that was a little newsy, but again, the primary focus was on this tax bill. But that moment where you had Ben Carson effectively lead in prayer, he tried to make a joke about it, the president saying maybe the press could benefit from that the most. But it was striking to see everyone bow their heads in prayer in that context.
And I think we have we actually have the audio of the prayer. Let's play the prayer that Ben Carson offered.
So with that, I'm going to ask Ben Carson, and you can stay if you want it, because you need the prayer more than I do, I think. You may be the only ones. Maybe a good, solid prayer, and they'll be honest, Ben. Is that possible? So Ben, we'll ask you to say grace. Thank you.
Our kind Father in heaven, we're so thankful for the opportunities and the freedom that you've granted us in this country. We thank you for a president and for cabinet members who are courageous, who are willing to face the winds of controversy in order to provide a better future for those who come behind us. We're thankful for the unity in Congress that has presented an opportunity for our economy to expand so that we can fight the corrosive debt that has been destroying our future. And we hope that that unity will spread even beyond party lines so that people recognize that we have a nation that is worth saving and recognize that nations divided against themselves cannot stand. In this time of discord, distrust, and dishonesty, We ask that you would give us a spirit of gratitude, compassion, and common sense, and give us the wisdom to be able to guide this great nation in the future. We ask in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you.
Striking and unusual is what MSNBC calls it. That clip earlier, the exchange between Andrea Mitchell and Christian Walker at MSNBC. Joining us now, David Barton, Christian historian. David, is that striking and unusual for a president to have prayer in his cabinet?
Well, you know, even before striking and unusual, I don't know if we should say this, Tony. I don't know if we should let MSNBC and their 16 viewers know that there's also weekly Bible studies for the cabinet on maturity in Christ. And I don't know if we should actually tell them that more than half the cabinet members are open evangelical Christians. I don't know. If NBC got hold of that, it might really be a scandal for them. Yeah, it is amazing that something as simple as a prayer would be something striking and unusual to them. Just on the other end of Pennsylvania Avenue, as you know, we don't do anything in the House or Senate without having someone who is paid to pray open things up with prayer. So why they would think that is an unusual thing in a cabinet meeting, that's just pretty much indicative of their lack of knowledge on anything else.
Well, and David, we go back to the beginning of this country, and we had presidents who prayed, called upon people to pray, called the nation to pray. I mean, I guess if your framework in terms of analyzing and judging what this president does is based on the last 8 years, yeah, I guess it's striking and unusual that this president is calling on people to pray, P-R-A-Y, when the previous president made a habit of P-R-E-Y on people.
Yeah.
I guess it is striking.
Yeah, it is. And it's also easy to understand MSNBC. I mean, probably nowhere on their set do they have prayer in any kind of a way that they have seen or witnessed. And they probably haven't been to buildings on the weekends that we call churches where there would be prayer. I mean, they're just kind of unfamiliar with it. But as you mentioned, it was not that way at the beginning. And as a matter of fact, not only did we have prayer in meetings like this, but by the time you get to 1815, there had been 1,400 government-issued calls to prayer for the nation. So that's not just praying in the cabinet meetings. That's calling the whole nation to prayer, the whole state to prayer, whatever. 1,400 times by 1815. So I don't think that they thought having people pray was an unusual thing back then.
Yeah, I mean, this is the president calling upon the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development to pray, and the media just goes ballistic. I mean, I think this is further evidence of what the media denies. The president made a centerpiece of his campaign when he said, we're going to be free to say Merry Christmas again. As I have said repeatedly, that's not just about a greeting during the month of December. He was talking about the greater war on the expression of faith. And I think you see this here. This is further evidence of that.
Well, it is further evidence, and we're seeing a lot of that kind of evidence. I mean, you hearken back to the hurricanes, Harvey, et cetera, and the president calls the nation to prayer during times of hurricanes. And as we came up on 9/11, he called for 3 days of prayer. He called the nation to 3 days of prayer around 9/11. And then as you move forward even into with the light in the Christmas tree this year, his little five-and-a-half, nearly six-minute message on the light in the Christmas tree could have come from the Pope. It's the same kind of message we got from Harry Truman and got from Ronald Reagan at Christmas time. It was unequivocal. It was not squishy. It was very Jesus-centered. I was just on a White House call recently, and they started out and said, "Hey, welcome back to Christmas. Merry Christmas, everybody." And it was just, you know, it was deliberate. And so it's the kind of thing where that there is so much going around this, and you're right. It's not Christmas per se. It is everything that goes around that. What he's done, even with the executive orders to help alleviate the burden that are placed on people of faith and conscience issues, whether it's the Justice Department weighing in on the Jack Phillips case with Baker. I mean, we're just seeing all sorts of things from this administration that are stronger than we've seen. And I'll just, you know, quite frankly, they're stronger than what we saw under President Bush.
Yeah.
And he did some good things for the nation with faith-based office, et cetera. But he was not nearly as strong as what Trump has been in his first year.
And this is, David Barton, this is not just something that Republicans do. I mean, you go back and you remember Franklin Roosevelt leading the nation in prayer.
Yeah, Franklin Roosevelt not only led the nation in prayer, but every year on his inauguration, he had a special prayer and dedication service. I think it was back at New York Street Presbyterian Church, every year on his anniversary. And he invited people to come for a rededication every year, taking the oath again, remembering that it was God. He led the nation in 6.5 minutes of public prayer on the D-Day invasion. As it was occurring, he led in prayer. His Christmas card that year in 1944 was the text of his D-Day prayer that he issued on that day. And then as you get into Truman, I mean, you take Harry Truman, a liberal progressive Democrat, after we finished World War II, and as we were looking at Korea, he makes a tour of the world, and he says, you know what, if we can get world leaders to agree to live by the Ten Commandments and by the Sermon on the Mount, we'll never have another world war. And so he went around the world visiting leaders to get them to pledge to live by those two standards. And he came back home very disappointed because he couldn't get national leaders or international leaders to do that. He said, well, I shouldn't have been surprised. We can't even get a lot of church people to do that. But nonetheless, there's a liberal Democrat president going around the world trying to get international leaders to sign on to the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount. So, I mean, this is certainly what Trump is doing is probably not nearly as strong as what Democrats used to do, but mm-hmm. it's so much stronger than anything we've seen in the last 20 years.
Well, and David Barton, is part of the reason the left is so concerned about this and quick to jump on it is because when a president does something like this, it's what we would call using the bully pulpit, if you will, leading by example, and it has an effect upon the broader culture.
Well, not only is it leading by example, but look what we're doing. I mean, we're talking about it right now for however many hundreds of thousands of million of people listening to us. And because of social media, this is the kind of stuff that goes out everywhere. And you probably saw they were really upset even, I think it was, yesterday or the day before when he opened another meeting with prayer. And they thought that was completely inappropriate. And so now this is kind of like making it mainstream again. And this really bothers them because they're no longer the sole outlet of what people get in the way of information. And so because of what happened today, and as you played the clips there and as even we're discussing it, it allows us to bring back in other things that they would just assume people did not know. So this really is, I think, a good thing. And I think most of the people in the country will stand right behind the press on this and not think it's unusual or not think that it's striking. They just think that this is part of the way things have been and should be.
Who knows? And maybe the president might start tweeting out morning prayers. You know?
Yeah, that would be great.
That'll send the media crazy. David Barton, thanks so much for joining us. Always great to talk with you, my friend.
Thanks,
Merry Christmas.
Bless you, bro. Bye-bye.
I have David Barton. To find out more, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. In fact, a lot of David's stuff would make great Christmas presents. He's got a lot of historical material books that are very helpful in understanding our Christian heritage and history as a nation. All right, no war on Christmas, no war on Christianity. Tell that to the ACLU. We're going to be joined by a parent from Northwest Louisiana, where the ACLU is going after the school board. Parents are stepping forward and saying, hey, this is our school too. Don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch right after this.
This Christmas season, give with purpose and meaning, a gift that protects life, marriage, and religious liberty. At Family Research Council, our mission is to promote these three core values in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. We are working to ensure that our religious liberty is defended in the public square, that human life at all stages is protected, and that family values are promoted in our country's public policies. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for our future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to Family Research Council, your gift will be matched, meaning it will be doubled by a generous donor. And any donation is tax deductible. Give with purpose this Christmas season. Text FRC to 444-999. Again, that is text FRC to 444-999. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year. Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC in our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. A senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Hear Mr. Arnakis discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. I've been talking about the war on Christmas, and as I've repeatedly said, and in fact, I'll be on PBS tomorrow night talking about this. I got a couple of other interviews on Fox coming up this week as they focus on this war on Christmas. It's not just about Christmas, okay? This is about the hostility toward the public expression of faith, just as we just talked about with MSNBC and their response to the president having prayer in his cabinet meeting. Striking, unusual, really. Well, a mother of a junior in a high school in Webster Parish, that's in northwest Louisiana, with the help of the American Civil Liberties Union, is suing the school, alleging unconstitutional and pervasive promotion of Christianity in the schools. But parents are pushing back, who also have children in those schools, saying the lawsuit does not reflect how a majority of the parents and the students feel. And by the way, just so you know, this is in the Bible Belt, okay? With us now is Penny Warner. She has a student who is also a junior at Doyleene High School in Webster Parish. Penny, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for joining us. This lawsuit, which is, I've read through parts of it, pretty interesting. This is a mother who's filing suit on behalf of her junior, her student who's a junior at the high school there, alleging 30 specific incidents going all the way back to, I believe, first grade or kindergarten.
Right.
I don't know if they keep a journal of religious offenses over the last several years?
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, is this, what are the other parents saying about this?
What I understand, judging from my community, and it is a small community, but we are pretty tightly woven, we are getting really tired of having to dumb ourselves down and hold back our Christian faith because one or two people get offended. And, you know, our freedom of religion matters also. And, you know, being a Christian is not something you should be ashamed of. Mm-hmm. We have a moral code. We have basic life skills that promote Christianity, and you can see it in how we live our lives. I think that a lot of the people in the community see what's happening, and they're appalled. They know that this child is probably either seeking attention or probably coerced into filing this lawsuit by the ACLU.
Right.
I do not see this as a majority opinion. The Webster Parish School Board and its employees are well versed on what is appropriate as far as freedom of religion.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole lawsuit seems very frivolous.
Well, it's interesting. In the article that I read, it refers to this young lady. She was raised a Baptist, but now agnostic in terms of her faith. But one of the claims is in regards to the school allowing for an opportunity of prayer or meditation at the beginning of the school day, if a student chooses to do so. I actually happen to know a little bit about that. I'm the author of the statute in Louisiana regarding prayer in schools. It's been tested in court and is withstood challenge. And so as long as the school officials are abiding by the law, they are fine. And this is another example of this, you know, ACLU, Freedom From Religion Foundation, coming in to bully the smaller school districts into what you just said, dropping what we believe, what we want as parents and as a community. And Penny, I have to commend you as a parent for standing up publicly and pushing back, because so often what happens, people go silent and these bullies prevail.
Right. The silent majority. And I am very opinionated, of course, and I don't mind speaking my opinion, especially when it's to defend my own faith and defend my own child. There are other children up at the school whose parents may not speak out. So someone has to speak for them as well. And I don't mind being pushed to the forefront. I don't mind that. It takes a leader sometimes to take a stand. And I think we all as parents need to take that stand. And I wish that anyone within the sound of my voice, that they hear this and they also stand up for their child and stand up for Christianity.
Well, thank you, Penny. And I will tell you what else happens as a result of that. The school officials, and many of them have good intentions, and I, so far everything I've seen there looks good. Doesn't look like they're waving a white flag or capitulating. But
right.
It helps when parents are saying, hey, we got your back. We believe in what you're doing. We support you. Because, again, when there's silence, that's often interpreted as meaning we don't care. But when you speak
right.
out, they realize it, and they're bolstered in their stand.
Right, and they think silence is consent, and it's not. Sometimes silence is we think you're crazy, and we don't think that what you're doing is right, but we may not say it. So some of my friends have started making T-shirts to further their standing with Lakeside High School and Webster Parish School Board, and I think that's the kind of voice we need. I think people need to stand up for themselves.
I could not agree more, Penny. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to keep an eye on this story, and we may get back in touch with you. Email me if there's developments in this case so we can follow back up on it, tony@tonyperkins.com. All right?
Certainly will. Thank you.
Merry Christmas, Penny.
Merry Christmas to you.
And, folks, that's what we need, more parents across the country who are paying attention and are willing to stand up. You know, if you believe it, stand up and defend it. And, you know, this is how these left-wing bullies do it. They try to intimidate people into silence. And thank God for people like Penny and other parents who are willing to stand up and say, no, we won't be silent. All right, I hope you're not going to be silent, because we're going to go to the phones here in just a moment when we return. So don't go away. We're coming back with more Washington Watch on this Wednesday afternoon.
Spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience the rich history and culture of our nation's capital and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day by working to advance family values in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. The internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. Learn more at frc.org/internships.
Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers. The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad you're with us on this Wednesday afternoon. Website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. Here's what I'm going to do today. We're going to handle two issues at once. All right. I want to continue this conversation like we were just having with Penny, a parent standing up, but just this whole idea of the war on Christmas, if I can use that broader term, because I do think it is reflective of this hostility toward Christianity and the public expression of it. And that's why people responded so well to the president saying, hey, you can say Merry Christmas again. Evidenced by MSNBC's response to the president's prayer in his cabinet meeting today. But it's having an effect from the standpoint of this president pushing back. I've talked to and heard accounts from a number of government employees, and not political appointees, but career service people, who are saying that the culture is shifting, where they've had large staff meetings and they've been told, look, this is Christmas time. You can celebrate Christmas. You're free to do so and be sure and spend time with your family and remember what Christmas is all about. And that's a sea change. And so the president is having an effect by simply taking these stands. That's not to mention the executive order on religious freedom and the other things that he's doing. But here, you know, if you've got an account of that, you want to talk about how you're seeing that hostility toward Christmas or Christianity, give me a call, 866-372-7234. And on the lighter side at the same time, what is your favorite Christmas carol or song? All right, you can weave that in there too, okay? 866-372-7234. Just want to kind of news item. 200,000 security forces will be on standby guarding Egyptian Christmas services from attack. This is significant. As you frequent listeners will know, that a group of us were over in Egypt meeting with President Sisi last month talking about religious freedom. And the president there, to his credit, has pledged, and this is big in Egypt, a majority Muslim nation. He is aggressively protecting churches and mosques from bombings and attacks, especially during Christmas. And that's been ongoing. In fact, their government is rebuilding. They are rebuilding some of the churches, not mosques, churches that were destroyed by the Muslim Brotherhood and others. So that's very good news. Now, the vice president was scheduled to be over there, actually right now, but he had to stay back for the votes that were taking place in the Senate. So I'm still very hopeful that Egypt can play a key role in bringing greater stability and a recognition of the fundamental human right of religious freedom, even in the Middle East. All right, website is TonyPerkins.com. The phone number, 866-372-7234. And let's go to Kenny in Missouri. Kenny, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, I just want to thank you for your program. It's always enjoyable.
Thank you.
When you were talking about this thing with Merry Christmas, about you remember it's been probably 6, 7, 8 years ago when it became not, you couldn't say Merry Christmas anymore. And I was working car auctions, and the boss said, you can't say Merry Christmas from the block. I walked out of his office, walked into the auditorium, and ran right into a friend of mine who is a Muslim with Allah on his cap. And I said, honey, I got a question for you. He stuck out his hand and he said, Merry Christmas, before I could say anything. And he said, Kenny, it's been Christmas since I was a kid. It's not everybody that does that.
Yeah. Well, and the vast majority of Americans, I think Pew Research says 92% of Americans celebrate Christmas. Now, not all of them, well, it's actually upwards of almost 80% believe the story of Christmas, the account, and about two-thirds the major tenets of the biblical account of Christianity or of Christmas. So it is something that almost universally is celebrated here in the United States. And what we've allowed to occur is a small vocal minority to make us basically, you know, feel like the only thing we can say is, you know, happy, you know, midwinter holiday or something, as opposed to it being what it is. It's Christmas. It's the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one who altered human history, world history, and is the cornerstone of Western civilization. Kenny, thanks so much for calling and sharing that story. 866-372-7234. Very quickly, we're going to go to Katie in Kansas. Katie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Mr. Perkins.
Yes, go right ahead.
Yes. I tell you what, I am just thrilled with President Trump in the White House. Even before he was elected, there's a godly woman here, very old lady in my little town, and she called him God's David. At that time, I was for Mr. Cruz. Everybody just laughed at Mr. Trump. But watching what has been happening from his election to this present moment, I believe my little godly Christian friend is right. And I just want to say, when he was elected, we've had a Christmas present every day that we wake up, and he's still our president. And I'm so happy with what's going on. And also, I would like to say, I volunteered for Mr. Pompeo, who was our congressman for 8 years. He came back to Wichita last month and spoke to us. And what he told us of what is going
Katie, got to hold right there, Katie. We got to go to a break. We're coming back with more phone calls here on Washington Watch. Don't go away, folks. We're waiting for your call.
Are you interested in making a real impact in public policy and culture? And are you looking for an internship experience at a Christian organization in the heart of our nation's capital? If the answer is yes, spend a semester in Washington, D.C. with Family Research Council through our internship program. You will get a chance to experience our country's rich history and culture and be immersed in the most important political debates of our day. Further, you will develop the skills required to advance faith, family, and freedom in our nation. Family Research Council's internship program includes free housing just a block away from Capitol Hill and the Supreme Court, as well as a paid stipend. As an intern, you will gain an invaluable public policy experience in a professional work environment under the oversight and mentorship of FRC experts and scholars. Learn more about the FRC internship program at frc.org/internships. Again, that is frc.org/internships.
Having a hard time finding that right gift for your family and friends? Need some ideas? Check out Family Research Council's online store and browse the latest books, mugs, trendy t-shirts, baby bibs, tote bags, and more. Your purchase of these items will support FRC in our mission to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Some of our exclusive items include a unique in-house design DC t-shirt featuring a skyline of the monuments in our nation's capital, a cute baby bib with some pro-life flair, and a stylish tote bag with a Bible verse from 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because He first loved us." Go to frc.org/store now to start shopping. Again, that is frc.org/store. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a blessed New Year.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Phone number 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234 to get on the conversation this afternoon. We're going to go back, and here's what we're talking about. We're talking about this war on Christmas, the bigger battle, and that is to try to silence Christians and to marginalize and push Christianity to the side. We saw it evidence, MSNBC earlier today responding to the president, having prayer at his cabinet as unusual and striking. And also your favorite Christmas carol, whatever you like today. Let's go back and Katie, thanks for hanging on.
You're welcome. I'll wrap it up and just say how blessed we are to have such wonderful, genuinely in an intimate relationship with the Lord, Christians in our White House and Capitol these days. Thank you so much, sir.
Katie, thank you so much for listening and for calling in. And I think a lot of people share your sentiments all across this country. 866-372-7234. Let's go to Kathy in Missouri. Kathy, welcome to Washington Watch. Kathy?
Thank you for calling me the other day and wishing me a happy Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Well, you are welcome. You are welcome.
That really did me good. And I want to know why you don't shop at Walmart.
Why I don't shop at Walmart? Well,
yeah.
Let me tell you, you can use, there's a, I don't know if you have a smartphone, but there's an app called Second Vote. There's also a website called secondvote.com. And they kind of rank these corporations, these businesses, on where they stand on values. And Walmart has, they've strayed in recent years. They
yes, they have.
And so I don't I try not to go to Walmart. You know, I won't say that I never go in there. Occasionally I will. I don't grocery shop there. And I do
I do
grocery shopping, but I shop at a local grocery store for those in the Baton Rouge area. I go to Oak Point because they are a Christian-owned grocery store. The family that owns the – there's multiple locations, but they give back to the community, and they're great community neighbors. And so I and there's lots of those out there. So I encourage people to spend your money wisely. Be good stewards of it and invest it with people who are investing in kingdom-related work, not working against you. And that's important this time of year when you're Christmas shopping. Use the Second Vote app. It comes in very, very handy, very handy. All right, let's go to Carol in Dallas, Texas. Carol, welcome to Washington Watch.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you.
Oh, I love that we are, people are feeling emboldened to say Merry Christmas. We had a fest party on the 11th of December, and our CEO stood up and said, Merry Christmas. It's the first time I've heard that. In the 8 years that I've worked for this organization, because in the past, they were always so politically correct that, you know, it was happy holidays. And I love it. And if someone says happy holidays to me, my response is usually Merry Christmas. And they will again respond, most of the time, they will respond Merry Christmas.
Mm-hmm. People are, I have found, Carol, I have found that people are kind of, well, they don't know how are you going to respond if they say Merry Christmas. So they kind of wait. And when you say Merry Christmas to them, then all of a sudden they feel free to say it themselves. And so it kind of has this chain reaction.
Yeah. It's nice. There are a few that don't. And that doesn't bother me. But my response is always Merry Christmas. And as for my favorite Christmas carol, it's got to be Joy to the World. I sing it all year long.
And as we should. We have reason to be joyful. Carol, Merry Christmas. Thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to Joe in Ohio. Joe, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Mr. Perkins. Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners, and good program tonight. I think that the Lord has given us a grace period with President Trump, and I think it's very important that we stand firm with Israel. You know, the Bible's pretty clear. Those who stand with Israel will be blessed. Those who go against Israel will be destroyed. And I also think it's critically important that we defund Planned Parenthood during this grace period that the Lord's given us. And also, you know, once we get that accomplished, you know, then we need to defund the UN and all these other anti-Christian groups that the American taxpayers have been funding for years. And I heard that the one good thing about the White House, too, is, and I've heard from a reliable source that in the last 11 months, there's been more Christian leaders visit the White House and be welcomed to the White House than the previous 12 years combined. So that's
I can attest to that.
Step in the right direction. So God bless you. Merry Christmas to you and all your listeners. Keep fighting a good fight.
Thank you, Joe. I can absolutely attest to that fact. And Joe, I wanted to, as he brings this up, what the president did in terms of moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem in Israel, and the biblical promise that those who bless Israel will be blessed, and you know, just the fact that as we do in our policies, in our statements, in our actions, favor Israel. Now, let me just be very clear. That doesn't mean that they get a pass on everything. If they do something wrong, we should tell them about it. We should talk to them about it. That's what friends do. But President has taken a very bold stand in making that decision to follow through on a policy that was adopted 22 years ago, but no one had the backbone to do it until he did it. Here's what you need to do about that, though, is also pray for this president that the blessing of God would be upon him so that it is irrefutable to the left that that scripture is true. Now, I'm not saying the president is right in everything that he does. I would prefer that he might tweet prayers in the morning versus some of the other things he tweets out. So there's some things I disagree with him. But I'll tell you what he has done is more than I have seen any in terms of advancing religious freedom and making it safe again and helping create an environment in which we can express our faith in this country. He's done more than any president in my lifetime. Of course, it was with a stark backdrop of Barack Obama, who did everything he could to basically marginalize and push Christianity out of the public square. So anyway, be praying for the president that that blessing would be upon him. All right, let's go to Jack in San Antonio. Jack, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hello, Mr. Perkins. Thank you for serving for our country.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, sir.
You know, I'm from Minnesota and living in Texas, and I remember going to all the football games. I remember them, their band plays the Battle Hymn of the Republic, which is the eyes of, you know how that goes.
Mm-hmm.
And now the school is just turned totally. And the name of diversity, you can't wear green, you can't wear red, you can't have any good to be seen, you can't wear the colors of blue and white of Israel, you can't have anything from Israel. I don't know what's happened up there. It's almost like there's spiritual warfare going on, and it's like the devil versus Jesus. It's like a craziness. I don't understand why they're doing that. You know, and they don't have the freedom to wear colors. This is like really, really ridiculous. And this is a major university. I first heard it on your radio station. I said, I can't believe that. How can a university go that way? And then I went on the line and I pulled it up, and it's sure enough, it's there. The whole University of Minnesota, which is like 60,000. And I don't know how they get away with that. And furthermore, my dad was a professor there. And I think that you should be teaching what you teach. You don't do poli sci in there. And if you're a engineer teacher, you teach engineering. You don't teach other propaganda, political propaganda.
Right.
Anyway, that's
you're absolutely right, Jack. It's not just Minnesota. In fact, I was having this conversation with a reporter earlier today. That while we're seeing a change already in the federal government and those agencies and how they're treating religious freedom and expression, but the one holdout on all of this, the college campuses, they continue to be the most hostile. And this is another place where parents, you need to pay attention. I mean, you're sending your kids and your money to some of these institutions of quote-unquote higher learning, and they're being weaponized with their anti-Christian views, or they're turning them. Of course, that part of the reason is because we're not preparing them. We need to do a better job of preparing them. I just want to point to that. Chuck Schumer, we talked about the tax reform plan that passed the Senate last night, went through another procedural vote, and it's been passed by Congress. It's now on to the president. He'll sign it after the first of the year. But Chuck Schumer stood on the floor of the Senate and mocked the idea that business taxes would benefit hardworking American workers. And it was interesting, he specifically called out AT&T as a company that he claims doesn't pay enough in taxes and would not pass the new tax cuts onto employees or hire new workers. And, I mean, this is what he said, using them as an example. He said, tax breaks don't lead to job creation. They lead to big CEO salaries and money for the very, very wealthy. Well, Chuck, might want to revise your comments. AT&T an article out today. AT&T will give a $1,000 special bonus to more than 200,000 U.S. employees because of the tax cuts that they're getting. Oh, wrong again, Chucky. All right, let's go to Michael in Tennessee. Michael, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. I just want to say I love what you guys do. And I listen to you every evening on Bot Radio.
Well, thank you.
On top of that, my favorite Christmas carol has got to be The Little Drummer Boy. Something about that song, it just touches my heart every time.
You know, you're absolutely right. It does. When you especially when you begin to visualize the words of that song, it's powerful. Michael, thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate those comments. Let's go to, is that Mohammed in Michigan? Mohammed, go ahead. Oh, I think we got a bad connection. That was coming to us from Dearborn, Michigan, actually. We'll try to see if we can get him back on if we run out of time here. Let's go to Ricky in Baton Rouge. Ricky, welcome to Washington Watch.
I just want to say that the big spiritual significance about Trump acknowledging Jerusalem as the capital, he's had more backbone than all the presidents combined going back to Reagan. So I'm sure Jeffries or somebody has told him the big, I mean, if you bless Israel, God said he bless you, and just, you know, recognizing Jerusalem as the capital, God has given tremendous favor not only to Trump but all of the United States because of that very one act. He blessed Israel for recognizing them as the capital of Jerusalem.
Yep, Ricky, you're absolutely right. Thank you, Ricky. Thanks for calling. And by the way, we actually told the president that in the Oval Office last week when we met with him about that, that that's what the scripture says. And we prayed that the president would be blessed for that stand. And you're right. It took you got to go all the way back to Ronald Reagan to see that type of fortitude, commitment, courage. And we talked about that. We thank the president for his courage and his boldness to do what others are afraid, have been afraid to do. It's a unique moment. Be in prayer, okay? Be in prayer for our president. Be in prayer for our vice president. Be in prayer for the cabinet leaders. Be in prayer for our Congress. And, pray pray for Christians that they will not be deceived by the media. I'm telling you, the media has become increasingly hostile. And, I mean, again, to mock the president and his cabinet for having prayer, calling that unusual, striking. I mean, look, he prayed. You heard the prayer. I mean, he prayed for the country, prayed for people, prayed for Americans, thanked God for what he's done. To God that more of our leaders would pray. All right, folks, thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, first, Merry Christmas. But also, you know what the Apostle Paul says. When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.